Welcome to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Derek Simmons, and we are joined here by former Kansas Governor Jeff Collier. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
So what brings you to Manhattan?
We're headed towards western Kansas. Wanted to visit some of our friends here in Manhattan and around the state. We're excited about some of the opportunities that are happening in the political side. Also concerned of what a strange world we're living in right now as well.
So I believe you're here to talk about your former Lieutenant Governor, Tracy Mann. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've known Tracy for more than a decade. I met Tracy in Salina. I grew up in Hayes. Tracy grew up in Quinter, you know, five generations in Quinter, Kansas. And then he was here at K-State, student body president here at K-State, so he knows what EMAW is all about. And then he and Audrey lived in Kansas City for a couple of years and then settled back out in Salina about 12 years ago. Tracy's had this big ag experience that's really unique, and he's just a good, solid conservative, one of the nicest people I know.
He's currently running for the Kansas's first congressional district. If he gets elected, what will Kansans get from him?
Tracy is a genuine Kansan. He's going to get somebody that's like themselves, hasn't been in politics, you know, his whole life. Tracy is, first, he's a K-Stater. He grew up on a farm. He's got five generations of Kansas heart inside him. And here's the thing, though, is he's a real conservative. He was conservative before it was cool, and he gets things done. And that's why I selected him as my lieutenant governor, because I want somebody that had great agriculture experience, that was a genuine Kansan, that could talk to people, listen to people, and could get things done after listening to him. And I think Tracy, you're going to find, is going to be somebody that really is very much in the mold of Jerry Moran and Bob Dole, in that he's a Kansan. He's also a conservative, and a very solid conservative.
How does he differ from the other candidates he's running against?
I know the other guys. They're good people. Tracy's in his 40s. He's somebody that we could see as the next chairman of the Agriculture Committee, which is really important to Western Kansas. So he has the longevity on it, and he has the experience to do that. Tracy is really a Western Kansan through and through, and has those experiences. But he also has good, solid policy experiences. That's unique. He knows how to not raise taxes. He knows how important it is to keep the budget tight. He knows how important agriculture is. His opponents, unfortunately, do have a history of raising taxes, actually voting to raise taxes several times. And that's something that Tracy wouldn't do. Tracy's pro-life. He's the only candidate that's been endorsed by the Kansas Farm Bureau, Kansans for Life, and the NRA. And I think that's a pretty good trifecta.
What are some of the main issues that he would like to take on if he gets elected into office?
I've known Tracy, and he's out, and he's been listening to folks. And he visited, for example, all of the Farm Bureau folks. He knows, number one, that agriculture is important in Kansas, and that we've got to make sure that our farms and our ag exports, and we start getting those going again. That's key to getting the economy going. He's a solid conservative. He does not support unchecked immigration into the United States. He's somebody who is fiscally responsible, keep costs low, just do the right job, keep your taxes low. He's also pro-life and has been strongly pro-life all the time that I've known him.
What are his thoughts on the state and the country's response to the coronavirus pandemic so far?
This has been a horrible challenge, and we've gotten some things right, and we've gotten a lot of things wrong. But one of the things that's really important is we've got to get the economy going. One of the things is we can make some accommodations in order to work again. We're getting smarter. You can have some distancing, but you can still get things done. We don't need to shut down the entire state. In talking with Tracy, it's very important that you have a good testing system. We actually go and we figure out what's going on, so you're not being blind. Right now, we're pretty blind here in Kansas. We don't have a good foot map of where everything is happening. But he wants to make sure you have good testing and tracing. But it's important that we get the economy going. And we're going to have to live with this, and we can accommodate that. So he wants to make sure that economy is moving.
One area that the pandemic so far has affected greatly, as everyone knows, is education. Some places or some states may be taking kind of a universal approach, like all counties have the same response to the pandemic. While Kansas at first, the start date for school was pushed back for all school districts, but then the state school board essentially made it so that it would be left up to each school district. Your thoughts on that?
Schools are important, and we want to make sure that our schools are safe for our kids. We want to make sure they're safe for the teachers and all that are involved. So as we're going back to school, we've learned something. We've learned that being at home doesn't work very well for everybody, and that if you can get kids back to school, parents can get back to work as well. So it has a lot of implications for us. So as we're going back to school, I think doing this more on that county or district level is the better sense. We have some counties that have had 5 cases or no cases at all. And then we've had other counties where we've had a big breakout in one particular county. So those require different solutions. And what we really need is letting people decide, let that community decide. But what's important is the state needs to help them get that information, make sure there's plenty of testing out there so that they know what's going on in that community, and we can do this safely. And I think you can, and we'll have to make some accommodations. It won't be perfect no matter what we do, but we can get there. We can get kids in school in a safe way.
One issue that has been brought up, at least locally, is the timing of test results being returned to people getting tested. Some say it could take anywhere between a week to 2 weeks, and that the person who is tested is recovered by the time they get the test result. What do you think can be done to improve that?
The timing of testing and getting the results is absolutely critical. It's really worthless if it's more than 48 hours after you get the test, because now you're in a whole new environment. If you were positive, after 2 or 3 days, it's very hard to go back and trace who you have. So you have to have both tracing and testing, and the testing, you got to get it done and get the results to people. That's something that the state should do a much better job on, and could, by bringing in more tracers, bringing in people that can contact you. So when you have your test, you get that result as quickly as possible. We live in an online world right now. That information can be transmitted very quickly. You know, it should just be seconds back to people. And we need to do a much better job of doing that. We have some resources. We have lots of private testing labs across the state of Kansas who are doing most of the work right now. And we can coordinate those and help them better in order to get those results back to people when they need it.
I'm going to do a little bit of a 180 here.
Sure.
So one thing that you'll hear quite a bit of from the ads of the different candidates running for the first congressional district is that they are pro-Trump, and then that includes Tracy Mann. Why is that such a popular strategy among all of these candidates?
I think really you want to be who you are, okay? And there are some people out there that say they're trying to identify with Trump to cover up who they are, and others are trying to explain sort of who they are. Tracy Mann has always been pro-life, has always been for low taxes, has been a lifelong Republican and a conservative Republican, and has been living and working here in Kansas his whole life. I think he would be a very good supporter of President Trump. He would support his district first. And the president, you know, is very popular in our district. There are others that we go and say, oh, yes, they are pro-Trump. However, they have a record of raising taxes or shutting down the economy in the headwinds here of coronavirus. Some people are, you know, not being who they are. And I think as Kansas, we just be pretty straightforward with folks.
Is there anything else you'd like to say concerning Tracy Mann and his campaign?
Well, I've known Tracy for a long time. When we went through the vetting process of bringing in a lieutenant governor, he was welcomed by everyone. He's an outsider, but he has enough experience that he can get some things done in Washington. And he's the genuine article, the genuine Kansan farm. K-State, you know, supported by, you know, the Farm Bureau, Kansas for Life, the NRA. I think he will serve us well.
Once again, we're joined by Jeff Collier, former Kansas governor. What have you been up to since your time as governor here in Kansas?
I've been very busy, and I enjoy being governor, and I've been working very hard on a lot of public policy and other things. I've been working with a couple of companies, an AI company that is very exciting. The president appointed me the national chairman of the National Advisory Commission on Rural Healthcare, and I've been very busy with that. Coronavirus has come up, of course, and I still do a little bit of surgery. But with coronavirus, I've been very active on the policy side. I'm a scientific advisor for one of the vaccine companies. Have been trying to help out. We got, for example, dozens of KU Med students out into rural areas here in Kansas to help out during the coronavirus epidemic. So I've been spending a lot of time on these very various projects here as we go through these difficult times. I meet a lot of Kansans, and you know, they're proud of their state. This is a hard time. You know, we're going to do okay. You know, we just got to put our right foot forward.
I would imagine you're somewhat in the know with the vaccine process. Mm-hmm. Where do things stand as far as the timeline goes with the vaccine?
So right now there are over 100 different vaccines being investigated around the world, and they're all in various stages. There is a chance that we don't get a good vaccine, but I think there's a better chance that we do get a vaccine. Some of the vaccines, I think we could have them on a timeline that we could potentially have them available by Christmas. However, the interesting thing is then you've actually got to get a vaccine into somebody, so it needs a shot. And then some of the vaccines may require a second shot 3 or 4 months later in order to get immunity. So it's going to take a while to do that. I'm on the scientific board for, it's a mRNA vaccine, which is a new technology for us. And we believe our early data suggests that we only need one shot in order to get immunity. We start our human trials here in the very near future in the next couple of weeks. And I'm excited about it. But I think what you'll probably see in the end is potentially 3 or 4 different vaccines that will be a little bit different. And we want to make sure they're safe. But those 3 or 4 different vaccines, they may work better in certain populations. Some may be better for older versus younger folks. And we don't understand all of that yet. But I think with Operation Warp Speed, that's going to be very helpful.
What kind of timeline are we looking at once those vaccines start to become available to the public, between when they become available and when things might start to get back to normal a little bit?
I can't predict, you know, that. There are a lot of things that are happening, and you can kind of look forward a few months. Looking forward a year is hard for us. If vaccines become available and they can be widely used, depending on how many shots it requires, 1, 2, or 3, that's going to have a big impact and how it gets manufactured. The idea of while you're testing the vaccine, actually making it, these vaccines are extremely complex to make these proteins. And so after you've gotten through those first stages, starting that manufacturing process before you're completed is helpful. If the study is wrong, well, we've just spent a lot of money that didn't work. But on the other hand, if it is successful, it gets people immunized faster. You know, we're getting smarter and coping with this. You and I, you know, having a conversation distanced apart, that means a lot. There's a lot of things that we can do that make this a little less risky for us, and we're going to continue to get smarter. And one of the solutions will be a vaccine as part of that.
I think that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Great. It's good to be with you. Miss all my friends here in Manhattan.